Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our reading from the book of Habakkuk. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. But bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Take as your norm the sound words that you heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who had just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he rather not say to him, prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So it should be with you. When you've done all you've been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Kevin, we are opening up the month of October.
And already?
Yeah, 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Yes, and as we start the commentary today, let me let folks know about some really great feast days coming up. October 4th is St. Francis of Assisi. October 5th is St. Faustina Kowalska. And October 7th is Our Lady of the Rosary. So some amazing feast days coming up this week. And as we start this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we read from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. We don't hear from him all that often. He is considered one of the minor prophets, not because he was less important, but because typically his writings were shorter. This book actually only contains 3 chapters. Not much is known about his life in person, other than he seems to be associated with the temple in Jerusalem in some way. And his books really contain 3 main parts. We're going to read here out of chapter 1, a dialogue between the prophet and God about injustice. And then the book follows on with a proclamation of the 5 woes on the Babylonian invaders, and then a final psalm announcing revelation and victory of God, which is something we always are ready to prepare for and, know that victory is ours at the end.
Exactly.
So that's a little bit about Habakkuk. Not much we know about him.
Yeah. We hear the words, "How long, O Lord, I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene." I think a lot of people at this time can really relate to those words. And the urgency that we hear in this reading, it comes from a place of utmost trust. And it's a confidence that he has that God will indeed execute the plan that he revealed to the prophet. And he's waiting expectantly for God's plan to play out. Now, it's not quite on that same magnitude or scale of urgency, but we've all had moments of expectantly and faithfully waiting for God to answer a prayer, maybe resolve a problem, and sometimes the answers come fast and clear, but sometimes the answer has come slowly and painfully revealed, and it's not the answer that we've wanted. And eventually, maybe we come to realize that this was indeed God's plan, and that the story just isn't over yet. Those who've come to know God, those who sincerely believe that he is a loving and merciful God and turn to him in troubled times, sometimes with feelings of anguish and desperation, and maybe with words like, "My dear Jesus, my Lord and my God, don't you see what's happening? Why aren't you doing something about this?" And those feelings of anguish and desperation are just that. They're feelings, and they're not necessarily indicators of our faith and our trust. A better indicator of our faith is when, despite our feelings of fear and anguish, sorrow and anger, that we open our hearts and souls to God's grace, and we receive what we need to continue in the midst of the struggle. And that's when we come to learn the reality of our faith, when it's tested by hardship.
Yeah, and when you're reflecting on that, you're bringing up the challenges that even, say, we as Christians, committed Catholics, kind of struggle through. Think about how maybe desperate someone may feel if they don't come from that Christian position, but don't come from that side of faith, right? Because you mentioned that you have that trust, but then you have to let God answer in his time frame. I have a writing here from St. Robert Bellarmine. So this is even from the 17th century, people coming from this secular point of view and how a struggle it is more so even that way. And I want to read this because I think it provides that answer to that question. Why don't you intervene? He writes this: "It happens that many people, seeing the many evils that happen among men and go unpunished, rush headlong into believing that human affairs are not governed by God's providence, or that all evils are committed by God's wish. If somebody, St. Augustine says, could look at the arrangement of only one panel in a mosaic floor, he would criticize the artist as incompetent in arrangement and composition because he sees only a small part of his work and does not see the biggest part. If he looked at all the parts and their relationship, he would undoubtedly praise the work and its craftsman. Thus, many men see the wicked prosper and that the upright, in contrast, are oppressed and afflicted. They do not know what God's future has in store for the crimes of the wicked or for the patience of the upright, and therefore they break out into words of blasphemy," mm-hmm. right? To not have that orientation of, "God, you have this tapestry, mm-hmm. and we only see this little piece of the tapestry. We only see this little piece of that mosaic floor. We don't know, right? God is God and we are not."
And that's happened throughout salvation history. Go back to the desert with the Israelites.
Exactly.
Right?
It didn't take that long before they started complaining.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, certainly a call on this.
When we don't know the whole picture,
exactly.
Right?
Call out in that faith, call it in the trust. And like you were saying, let God's plan, let his timing work out in your lives, but mm-hmm. never give up that trust.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, in our second reading today, this is from St. Paul to Timothy. So this is part of what they call the pastoral epistles, which means that they're guides or excellent guides for our bishops and priests of back then and even today. And it says here in the reading, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord." And that made me think about the fact that, you know, our priests are trained and ordained to confect the Eucharist. They're trained to teach the faith. But that doesn't automatically mean that they are good, I would say, pastors as it relates to the personal or interpersonal conditions. So, you know, sometimes we have people say, oh, I don't like that pastor because maybe he doesn't have the right personal touch or something like that, right? That they're not automatically trained, right, besides being their own persons. And so I think it's really important to, again, look at the priest not as your counselor or, right, or you know, your therapist or things like that, because that's not originally what their main role is. That's to be the mediator. But please do pray for them. Help them become better pastors as well.
And pray for others, deacons, and who,
yes,
to be sent to the parish to provide that ministry if it's necessary.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because that is a very important part.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily the only thing that
absolutely,
they are there.
Yeah.
And again, when you think about this comes back to me then, this ending where it says, guard this rich trust. We have these three pillars of our faith. We have the sacred scripture, which is the inerrant word of God, that written source of that revelation. We have sacred tradition. Remember, tradition in this tense is the transmission of the gospel through the teaching of the apostles and their successors, because not everything that Christ did was written down. And again, even our Old and New Testaments, the Demasian catalog was back in the 4th century, right? So there was this rich history of 400 years before finally everything was codified in terms of the Bible. And then, of course, we have the magisterium, the Pope and the bishops in communion with them. They have the authority then to authentically interpret then the scripture and the sacred tradition. So
right,
please take a look at these three pillars of truth. These are the gospels, the good news, the light in this darkness of the world that we have today. You think about all the relativism that is pervading our society. Please look at how important it is to bring the light of truth into our world today. And we can be those beacons of,
yes,
light. Yeah. Well, moving on into the gospel, we have this plea. The apostles say, Lord, please increase our faith. Even the apostles asked that. So
exactly.
I guess we're in good company.
Exactly. It's like, oh my heavens. So when Jesus' followers asked him to increase their faith, he responded by assuring them that they already have been given an ample gift of faith. And he uses the comparison of a mustard seed to provide an image of the endless possibilities that can be realized if we live our lives immersed in that gift of faith. When God gives us the gift of faith, the amount of faith he gives is sufficient. But what is often insufficient is the way that we respond to this great gift. The factor that most determines how effective the gift of faith will be in our lives is directly impacted by the way in which we respond to God's gift, whether or not we choose to participate and cooperate with God's grace.
Yeah, I love this line at the end here. This really gives us that closer. When you have done all you have been commanded, as part of the response, that faith response, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do. What a wonderful way to stay in that state of humility to avoid that pride. We need to remember that we should not expect congratulations. Our Christian work is very important, but not beyond our call of duty. Indeed, being a Christian involves heavy demands, but nothing is impossible with God's grace.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.